Good morning, everyone. Happy Monday. How is everyone today? Let's get our, am I going to get my gallery view on so I can see all of your bright, empowered faces this morning. Good morning, Samantha, Mark, Terry. Good to see you. Taylor, good to see you as well, sir. Roseanne. Good morning, everyone. Oh, what a day it is going to be. This call is really going to be a game changer. It is mindset is truly one of the most important, if not the most important thing that we talk about here. And I'll talk about it in a little bit. This is probably the most important topic in that conversation. So let's kick off first with a little bit of housekeeping. We have our September Growth Summit coming up after summer. So that'll be on September 3rd. We're going to talk all things growth and gearing up your growth engines. We're going to have the growth workshop. So those of you who are in Lifestyle Bundle, or if you're doing an add-on, the growth workshops are those 2 days where we cover six topics and half-day sessions. So it's really about if you need that help or assistance, getting clear, getting focused, rolling up your sleeves, getting decisions made, getting drafts done. That's what workshops are for. So if you're interested in that, you'll be getting information. Stay tuned. Our Adam's May cohort call was scheduled to the 17th. His next call is the 24th, and on July 1st, Adam and Brian will be here talking about how to staff up for success and share their success stories so that you can really see how they've created leverage in their practice and how you can pick their brains. I will be out the month of July for my annual 30-day summer vacay. Yes, even I had to come up with a rhymey brand for my personal vacation. It just happens. My husband's like, oh my God. I'm like, it just happened. I didn't like sit down and think I need to name it. But you know, I love alliteration and rhyming. So we've taken the kids like in different parts of the world because we want them to be world travelers, citizens of the globe. So this year we're going to Africa for a safari, which was my 50th birthday present. I'm very excited, but I will be largely out of pocket. We have an amazing coaching team here. So Liz, Allison, Natalie, Adam, right? Our alumni are all here to support you. If anything comes up, if there's a critical emergency, I'm sure they can find me, but I'll be taking pictures of the giraffes. So I'm very excited for that experience. You know, life is not always easy for you or for me, but we really can create experiences that we enjoy. And that's what Limitless is all about. And that's really what today's conversation is about, is how do we live in a space that is consistently positive, empowered, energizing? Like, who doesn't want to feel that above the line way so much more of the time? And we know the research says that we spend 70% of our days in stress state, just on average, which means that 70% of the time in our average day, we are below the line. And so a function of that is the work that you do, right? Is it energy creating? We talk about all the practice strategies and models, that kind of proven path to success that so many of you come here for. But the way to grow without eroding joy, a way to do it while expanding it, a way to create confidence, is to really start to think about the conversations that we have with ourselves. If mindset is what truly moves the needle, and this is what got me at one point. How many of you, honest engines, talk to yourselves? Like I wrote an article once and I started the article with, I hear voices and I talk to them, right? And like we all have, it was obviously a catchy headline, but Samantha, do you not have conversations with yourself in your head? You're like, should I do this? Should I not? Mark, do you have conversations with yourself in your head? Who are you talking to?
It's ongoing.
The thing that like really bowled me over one day, I was like, who am I talking to? Because we agree, like you can't be in two places at the same time. And I was like, oh, those voices in my head represent something. And if you listen to them most of the time, they represent things that diminish you, that shrink you, that put you in a state of lack, of not enoughness, of you can't, you shouldn't, you don't know how. Some days it's minor. Some days it's major. We've all had those ragers in our head and we're like, please let the party end. That's what today's conversation is about. How do we shift our self-talk in a way that actually sets us up for success to be that empowered, right? Efficient, I love my work machine that we came here to be.
Yeah, and just to be clear, with those voices, at one point they served us, right? They kept us safe, they kept us understanding what was happening in the world. But at this point in our lives, they tend to break us down. They keep us from experiencing the full mansion of who we are. And we can perceive ourselves from that picture of the shack. And as you look at those two pictures, which one do you want to be? Of course, naturally, you want to be the mansion. You want to be expansive and see yourself in a bright light. And so, one of the most important things is just recognizing and understanding that our subconscious is a beautiful thing, but it tends to delete, distort, and generalize information and attach it to those stories, those old stories that we have from the past that keeps us in the shack state. And so, once we're conscious that we are attaching it to an old story, then we can shift it and see the room from a different perspective.
Self-talk. Who remembers? Does anyone remember the golden triangle, the success triangle from the mind, from the Science of Success lesson? So this is the game changer, right? When we think about what we do and why we do it, a triangle, you know, I love my geometrics, right? Remember, we got stories and we've got our state, right? This is our line. Are we above our line or below our line? If our stories, Bridget, are positive, I'm awesome. I'm a thought leader. People love. I'm like, I have impact. I'm doing great work on the planet. My state is energized, empowered. Let's go. What are my strategies likely to be? Aligned with my vision and goals and personal integrity? Yeah, much more so. But what happens, Liz, when my state and my stories, it's all driven by stories, right? Which then affects our state. Our thoughts affect our feelings always. Even when you feel the feeling first, there's always a thought, even a subconscious one in front of it. When those are negative, our self-talk is negative. And when our self-talk is negative, our strategies are negative. We don't make big moves. We don't make confident decisions. We compromise. We shrink in the face of challenge. And that's why self-talk is so important. To Liz's point, self-talk is a reflection of your stories and your state. And the cool thing is, what we're going to talk about today is you can do that work outside, inside out, but you can also simultaneously do the work outside in by consciously shifting your self-talk. You can retrain your brain to not do the thing that we do so much of the time. And that is wear the shit shirt. Sorry, that was not elegant, but it's one of the more true things. So I'm in Costa Rica a few years ago, true story. I take my daughter Emma horseback riding with some friends. It's hot, we're sweaty. I don't know why I had on a flannel and a tank top, and I wrapped it around my waist. And we get back to the car, and Emma has stepped in some manure. And I take off the flannel and I wipe it off her shoes so that we can get in the car, right? Throw it in the back of the vehicle, get in the car, and forget it about it for a few weeks. Until one day my husband is like, "What is the smell in your car?" I'm like, "I don't know, what smell?" Right. So he goes to the back and he pulls out the shirt and he's like, "Oh my God, there is a shirt covered in shit in the back of your car. How could you? What's going on?" And I was like, "Oh, that's from horseback riding." And he's like, "Here, take it." And I was like, "No, that's disgusting. I don't want it." And I don't know why, but in that moment, I thought, "Oh my God, this is what we do all the time." Someone walks up, sometimes intentionally, most of the time not, and they say, "Here's a shit shirt." And we go, "Okay, let me try the. Oh, this is uncomfortable, but you know what? I'm just going to wrap. Yes. Oh man, I hate this, but I'll just keep on doing it." We don't stop and say first and for to others, but first and foremost to the voices in our head, "Hey, you know what? I'm not wearing the shit shirt anymore. It's not required." And so if you understand that it's your head trash that is stucking you most of the time, not the strategies, not the processes, as you've undoubtedly seen, we have those in spades here, in spades. It's getting clear on what you're trying to solve and how you want to solve it and why that matters. That when you get over that hump, that is when you kick in and go, "Oh, do, I'm going to do this." And that's where that hockey stick effect really starts to kick in. Here's what we know. We have 60,000 or so thoughts per day. 80% of them are negative. 95% of those are on a constant replay loop in your mind. And by the time we're about 30, 35, we are literally a hardwired set of pre-programmed thoughts, habits, and behaviors. You are 95%, Terry, 95% likely to think, feel, and do today what you did yesterday. And it's why we get stuck in that loop. And if we think about it, the reason is in order to get out of the loop, we have to get above it. And that work starts inside. So we're going to do some exercises today to give you all a chance to practice. But the idea is, as we all know, there's the surface level of what we see. This is that strategy at the top of the pyramid. I'm going to check my email 17 times a day. There's a story behind every single thing that we do, empowered or disempowered. So our scripts literally run our stories about 95% of the time. Now, the cool thing is our brains have this concept called neuroplasticity, which is actually a new concept in the last like 40 years of neuroscience, but they've actually learned that our personalities are not fixed. We can radically change who we are and how we show up by changing the stories that are ultimately the origin of that behavior. And below that surface is your state. That's your underlying operating condition. Are you showing up positive and empowered? And I'm not going to give up. I got this. I'll keep on trying. Or are you like, oh my God, I just can't. I'm overwhelmed. I'll get to it later. Right. Our goal is to always be in that lean in state. Right. And it starts again, as we talk so much about, it really starts with the voices in our head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with that strategy, what we're doing is either proving, protecting, defending. And those can come out in these six different ways. So picture yourself, you're sitting on the couch, perhaps you're in the past, or perhaps you're in the future, and you've realized you've lost your mind, but not in the way that people talk about it. But like, you've been on this trail with your mind, and you don't know how long you've been sitting there catastrophizing what could happen in the future. Oh, they did this, and then that means that, and then that means that. Like, we're planners. And so we love to look out into the future and see what else could happen. Catastrophizing can take up your time because you're thinking about all the what ifs that may or may not even be true. Or perhaps you're going in the past, something like personalizing, blaming yourself for something that happened. Oh, that person, they're upset. That means that I blah. And taking it all on yourself versus keeping it neutral. So both of those, and how they show up in these different strategies are either in the past or in the future. So when we talk about being in a present state of mind, your mind is relaxed outside of the personalizing, magnifying, catastrophizing, polarizing, rehashing, or rehearsing.
So take a moment and ask yourself, what are some of the strategies that you're using? As Liz said, there are core strategies. I drop them in the chat. We use strategies to survive. The strategies that you use are based on your childhood. If it was happy and pleasant, you developed one set of strategies. If it was less than happy and pleasant, you developed another set of strategies. Everyone has stories which determine their strategies, unless, as we've talked about, unless if you're like, no, this does not apply to me, it might not, but it means, according to the research and the science, that you are either a sociopath or a psychopath because they don't have an ego to have that conversation with. So if that is you, please let me know. We need to refer you to an outside specialist. Otherwise, ask yourself, what is the conversation in your head start to sound like? I was just having a conversation with my son. He's in a new 17. He's in a new relationship. She's off on vacation. And he's like, and I said, oh, this is catastrophizing. It's like, what if this? And what if she meets someone on the beach in Mexico? And I was like, what if? Right? Our brains, if you understand, they're called, in the language of research, they're called cognitive distortions, right? Our brains take something, an event, and they distort that event. We all do it through the lens of our story. So if you grow up in a world like I did, where, right, things not being like perfect ended up with a series of options of very bad things happening, what is a survival strategy? Right? I will be perfect. I will just not create space for bad things to happen. But man, you want to talk about having a problem with personalizing, magnifying, and catastrophizing. I got a gold medal. I mean, I can take a seemingly innocuous event and turn it into, I'm going to be eaten by a hungry tiger and die in a fifth of a second, like every other human. The difference is, in those moments, I go, oh, this is that thing. I'm catastrophizing. Okay. And so there are things that we can do to counter that. One of the things I just ran across, Liz, you'll appreciate this as a coaching strategy, is it's an honest engines kind of conversation. It shifts your thinking, which is, I feel fear, anxiety, stress, overwhelm. I feel fear because I choose to believe I have to. Because the voices in your head have been conditioned to that state. But that allows you to then sit in the space and say, I feel trust and love because I choose to believe that I have to. And you are literally in that moment stopping the cognitive distortion, right? There are a number of strategies. I'm going to talk about a lot of them. That's just one that I ran across recently that I really liked because it forced me to be like, yeah, I choose to believe that I have to, but that doesn't make it true. So when we can get clear, hey, I have a tendency to magnify, right? Our brains are hardwired to focus on the negative 9 to 1 compared to the positive. So magnifying is something that almost everyone suffers from. But when we can catch ourselves in that moment and go, oh, right, that voice in my head is not playing nice today. It's like, okay, how bad can it really be? You know, what's the worst thing? And you can pretty quickly get to a place where your brain's like, oh, the monster in the closet is just not that scary. If we don't catch ourselves, it magnifies. And that moment of stress turns into a little bit of anxiety, can turn into real anxiety, can turn into depression. It can turn into lots of not good stuff. So our work is to catch it and then ultimately figure out how to address it and release it, right? To trying to click ahead and it won't let me empower new and better stories.
Well, I am curious for those watching today, what are you learning about yourself through that? Like, what are the top 2 strategies that you use? Maybe put that in the chat.
Yeah, love it. I'll go back so you can see them.
I noticed for me, there are specific events that I rehash and I have been trying to clear them continuously, but it goes back to this story of like, I want to be a good girl, which means inherently, I believe I am not a good girl. So if that incident where I asserted myself in a certain way keeps showing up, it was just all cards on the table here. It was when I let an employee go. Like, how dare I? And I've worked on this with Steph. I've got a little note card that answers that voice back. That's that rehashing, going back, like, how could have I done this differently so that I didn't have to fire? Because if I fired, then I'm a bad person.
Yeah.
And notice how much time I get sunk into that.
Well, and that's the point, like we all do, right? So the reframe for Liz, I can't remember it exactly, but it was something around, I'm a conscious leader,
committed, right? Conscious leader. Yeah.
Look at that. I remember that from months, right? I'm a committed conscious leader, right?
Like 2 years old, Steph.
2 years. Look at that. I love it. Right. But now she can insert that. And when that voice shows up in survival state, I'm not enough of a good girl. I'm right. I shouldn't do this because it makes me not nice. And what if people think I'm not nice? You know, oh my good. Two, I'm a committed conscious leader. I can make the decisions that I need, even the tough ones, to align my team with this company's higher and my work and my higher purpose. I will stand in that space with confidence. I am capable of making hard calls. I have all the time that I need, right? You just pick the belief and notice how the shift starts with self-talk. So the thought creates the feeling. And if you can catch yourself, you can kind of hack your brain and reverse loop all the conduits open. It's like, well, thank you for feeding me that download, but I'm going to send it back up with something new and better. And when we do this consistently, it creates the most powerful tool that we have when it comes to our brains. I call it a pattern interrupt. In the moment that Liz goes, oh, it's happening again. It's not happening in that moment. It is now something she can observe and say, old talk, new talk. I'm a committed conscious leader that can make the decisions I need to align my team with our higher purpose, even when it's hard. And each time that she does that, she's breaking the old pathway and she's starting a new one. And when she repeats that over and over, when she gives it attention, the brain and its chemistry cannot help but shift its focus there with her. So it becomes the new pathway. And when she does it over and over and over, Liz, I promise she's so much better at it, but years from now, we'll be coaching someone from a place of so much conscious leadership where she's like, yeah, there was a time where just speaking the truth for me in the organization had me just, you know, inside out, having to call my, like, I know exactly the seat that you're sitting in. That's the work, is as that old pathway falls on, we create essentially new and better thought habits. And your thought habits define your life, your level of success, health, wealth, and well-being. Like, they are the most important asset that you have. Belief is your greatest currency.
Yeah. So as we look today at our self-talk, there are some specific places that you might be able to cherry pick some areas. So we're looking at our time, relationships, and quality of life. You can go to the next slide. Some within our time and productivity, how you apply your time matters. And when we feel like we're getting caught in our time and you're tracking and like, oh, I'm off task again, there's some story that's stuck in you. Maybe you're trying to protect or prove something by staying in your email versus getting ahead on the work that you want to get through. The quality of relationships, think about the way that you treat yourself or the way that you treat others. Do you tend to spark with anger? Or maybe, like for me, I'm more like, oh, everything's fine, let's just make everything pacified. And that is a protection mechanism that I have, because my story is that I cannot disrupt the water. I cannot make waves. And so if someone is feeling a certain way, it goes to my story of like, oh, I am bad, which is a core story for me, especially in the Midwest. And so even just as you experience yourself in the work that you do, like I'm thinking about the way I project out my future and what it is that I want for myself. Can I see myself in that place of like badass business owner that has employees that really respect her and a business that is flourishing? Can I talk to myself in that way? That way I can experience the flow that comes from an easy moving business where I have the systems and processes in place that flow money to me. Like that's a question I'm actually looking at right now, is my own attachment to can Liz Hand experience flourish of income? It's been a story for a while that I can't. And so I've always had to stop and recreate and redo and pivot and do something else. But I've spent about 5 years now really remaking the business and putting in the systems and processes to experience the flow of it. Can I talk to myself in a place of like, actually just relax, Liz, don't recreate the wheel here. Step back and let the process work for you. So there's always places to look within the way that we're talking to ourselves, the way we relate to other people, and the way we are in our time and productivity.
The reality that you are experiencing, and this isn't right, just Steph thinks, this is right where the research and the neuroscience really have just come so far, right? The self-talk is like our reality is a direct reflection of the conversations that we have with ourselves in our heads. If Liz sits around every day saying, I'm a badass business owner, I'm confident, I'm flourishing, I am divine, I am aligned, I am having massive impact, I am reframing what financial planning is for people who are stuck in their money mindsets, like this is like her brain chemistry automatically starts dropping serotonin, dopamine, happy chemicals, but puts her in that above the. So notice how if you do that for 30 seconds, I feel better right now. I felt it. I was like, ooh, I feel all mojo-y inside. And I'm talking about Liz. Like when you talk like that, especially when you do it out loud, your brain biologically has to get on board. And when you're sitting there thinking, I'm so overwhelmed, your like brain is like, yeah, we are. Let's have some more cortisol. This is awful. Right. So we keep ourselves literally, this is going to sound harsh, but this is true in so many ways. You just have to identify your ways. This is the work I'm doing right now. Man, I'm like, it's going to be amazing on the other side. I am addicted. We are addicted to suffering and struggle. We're addicted to it. We create half of it. I'll check email 29 times, even though that I'm not supposed to, right? Because it's not right. That's really the work that we're doing, is what are the thought habits that we are super conditioned to, that we've become addicted to, that our neurobiology has become addicted to. And the biggest mechanism outside of coaching or therapy, the biggest lever we have to pull is our self-talk, because it goes both ways. If Bridget sits here in the morning and I was in the mirror this morning, I'm like, I'm a global thought leader. I'm having amazing impact on the planet. I'm here to be a humble servant. I want to help people elevate their work, their wealth. And I'm like, ooh, I just feel better. Right. And we get to carry that state. And then things happen, right? You started the day with a meeting and that meeting does not go the way that you thought it was going to go. And you're like, my chi just went negative. Like, I just feel grumpy. And I was like, we cannot have that. So before I got on this call, I was literally standing 3 feet over there. Like, all right, I can let these things pass. Like, da da da. Like, and like, let's get it. And my state instantly just got back to, okay, like clear and conscious and positive, and let's do good work. It really is an invitation to challenge the quality, not just of your thinking, but of the conversations that you have with yourself, because the quality of your thoughts and conversations fundamentally determine the quality of your practice and your life. So we talked a lot at the beginning of the year. This is like a mid-year refresh about what we call catch and correct. Liz talked about it. I've talked about it. And I want to just have you take a minute to think about something here, something else. It could be, right, more of a feeling thing, like I feel fearful or anxious. What's the negative story? The conversation in your head is a reflection of the story. I can't charge planning fees for that, right? That's a negative conversation. Do we agree that it has to be rooted in a negative story, right? If the story is I'm not worth it, or I'm an imposter, or I don't know if that's possible, or I have to struggle, I'm not going to sit in that place if I can charge anything fee I want, because I know that I'm delivering 10 times the value of the fees that I'm charging. And I know that I'm pretty awesome at communicating that to people. Now we have to get there. That's the work. But that's what Liz and I are telling you is you can actually, right? It's the, what's that saying? Don't dress for the job you have, dress for the job you want. Don't fake it, right? Fake it till you make it. It's actually true. You can start to rewire those pathways and thought habits when you pattern interrupt, right? Catch and then correct. Hey, I can't double my income and time off in 18 months. Well, you can't with that attitude. But if you go in and you're like, if Stephanie did it and Adam did it, and like, wow, if they did it, I can do it too. Your brain's like, all right, let's do that. And so take a moment and ask yourself, what's the biggest negative conversation? Like, it's the one that shows up the most often. What's that conversation look like? And then Liz is going to take you through that in just a moment. So just think about that as we talk about, like, here are the four things. I call it soothing the savage beast. Emma, my daughter, will get, you know, like, girl, 13-year-old girl drama is always fun. And I'll be like, oh, are the monkeys out of the cage? And she'll be like, yeah, the monkeys are loud today, mom. And I'm like, all right. Right. Because I'm just trying to teach her that she isn't the feeling. It's like a thing. Right. And that's awareness. The second, Bridget, that you go, I don't feel good. I'm going to think to stop. That's like the hardest work of all, because you have interrupted a pattern that you're 95% habituated to. If you can do that, you can do anything. I mean, anything, because with awareness, we can get clarity. Remember that four questions? What's happening? I'm really frustrated about X, Y, or Z. Oh, wait, I feel frustrated because I choose to believe I have to. What's happening really? I'm choosing to believe that I need to be, that frustration is the right response here because da, da, da. Okay, what's really happening? I have a story that I'm going to be let down, and someone just fed that story a juicy cheeseburger. Juicy double burger with bacon. All right. Is it really true? No, it's not really true. Not really. See, notice how my frustration just became like, actually not so much. All right. What do I choose to believe? What's the conversation I want to have? Hey, right. This is what happened. Here's how we're going to address it. Like, da, 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 right. Like, notice how it went from all this feeling to like, okay, what practical conscious action am I going to take? Right. What am I going to give my attention to? Is the really important part. If you have any negative persistent feeling, fear, uncertainty, doubt, stress, anxiety, frustration, and it's not, you know, like, oh, someone flips you off on the way to school and, you know, you're upset and then it goes away, right? That's what's supposed to happen according, right, to our biology and nature. But humans can lock on to things. We're the only creatures on earth that can induce the stress state, the fight or flight state, with a thought. All other creatures on the planet have to actually face an actual threat. And that's because our brains don't know the difference between what's imaginary and what's real. So that's the downside. The upside is if you give your attention to the positive, the empowered, and the self-talk, and you practice it, it goes the other direction. Right, is we get to soothe that savage beast, as we like to say, right? Instead of getting eaten by the hungry tiger, we get to go, oh, cute little kitty cat, not that big a deal, right? And we reserve those catastrophe feelings in the mat for actual events that warrant that level. And even those events, ideally, right, we want to come to from a calmer, more conscious space.
One thing that came up for me that I can't quite get out of my head, so I just want to say it for those people who, hear the fake it till you make it. And there's like an initial like bristling Remember that you can always go back into your history and find proof that you have done it before. And so fake it till you make it doesn't necessarily mean like you have to construct something that hasn't been there. Oftentimes for those people that bristle against that, usually they forgot that in the past they've addressed similar types of things and overcome lots of situations that will prepare them for the future. And so I just wanted to state that because I noticed it hit me and I was like, oh, I can't just fake it. I'm too authentic for that. You know, I like all my emotions are on my sleeve. So, but that's the direction I would go with that.
Yeah, no, I think it's a really good point. Another way to say that is really to stand in your truth, right? If you can, right, say, I hear those voices and I have that feeling and I'm doing the work, but in this moment, right, I'm going to flip that switch and I'm going to catch and correct. And I'm going to say, actually, I'm a committed conscious leader. That's putting on, right, the higher version of you before you feel it. And fake it till you make it is a really right flippant way to communicate that, to Liz's point. It's right. It's a phrase. No, it's a phrase we're all used to, but I think you're right. The deeper meaning there is you are essentially creating a vision of yourself, a higher version, right? In Liz's case, more clear, more calm, more conscious, more confident. And then we're choosing via that awareness pattern interrupt to envision and then step into that version of ourselves, even before we feel it. So if I feel fearful or anxious or overwhelmed or frustrated, I can be like, not feeling very Gandhi-like at the moment, but okay, right? I'm going to step into how I would want to feel and respond. I'm going to step into, I'm a clear and conscious leader. I can be calm and patient, right? That's right, you're claiming it before you feel it. And that actually aligns your brain and your biochemistry to catch up. If you believe it, your brain, this is so powerful. If you fundamentally truly believe something, your brain is hardwired to catch up. The second that Liz believes that she deserves to abundantly flourish with ease and joy, even if she's not pleasing and perfect in every way, that's the hitch there, right? I'm deserving when I'm good. Mm-hmm. Can you feel deserving in that moment when you feel like you didn't? Like, that's the next level of work that we're all, right? That coaches go through, like, oh, I'm great. What if I messed up and I still have to feel great about myself? So this exercise, Liz is going to take you through it because I know we have kind of we talk about this in the terms of time. Now we want to talk about it in the terms of our self-talk.
Yes. So you can probably feel when there's a statement that you say that is below the line, like there's kind of a sluggishness to it. You can also feel, just like Steph said when she was saying like she's a committed and conscious leader and it's not even about me, but I'm starting to feel it and it feels good. You can feel when the words start to elevate you. So isn't it neat that we get to design our words and we can elevate ourselves therein? So with this sheet, it's the pretty simple. You've worked with above the line before from the perspective of tasks that you do, ones that have that sluggish feel to them versus ones that you can get lost in, you're in flow state. And so this is from the words that you're speaking perspective. Now, I'll just go through a couple of pieces of mine just to kind of get the, to prime the pump, as they say.
Yeah, this is samples. This is samples in the chat if anyone wants to open it up.
Yeah. So the frequent one that gets me is everyone is angry at me. So I am very reactive to the way that people engage with me because I'm always looking to see if somebody's angry at me. So notice that. Like, I'm looking to see. Therefore, I'm trying to prove my story that everyone is angry at me. So that's a below the line thing. And once I perceive that, then I start into all of these extra activities that don't need to be in the space, which take up my time, my energy, my attention. Another one, it's not on this list because it's one that I am looking at right now. It's a new one for me, which is that I can't go as fast as I want to go. I need to stop and make sure everybody's okay before I go. And so that is preventing me from some of the bigger goals that I have personally, whether it's impacting my family, my business, my colleagues, my business partner, Clinton. And so When I'm in those states again, I'll stop my behavior. I won't go towards the things that I really want if I believe I need to like make sure everybody's okay before I do. On the flip side, when I am above the line and really feeling good and energized about myself, some of the things that I'm saying is that money is always in motion and I am ready for what's next. I am willing and ready for all that's next. And that is just looking at the things that I want to create for myself. I'm willing and ready for that. Bring it on. I'm making room for next level Liz. So as you look at that, I'm going to stop talking for a moment and let you look at the things that come up for you and fill out this worksheet for yourself. What's a predictable thing that you might say to yourself that stops you, pauses you, spins you out?
Yeah. What are negative stories that drain you, stall you, stuck you, make you hesitate? Like,
anybody want to come on and share what they learned? Maybe a new learning that you have yourself, and for others that don't, maybe put in the chat something that you've just recently learned about yourself just through this conversation today. Jenny, I see you on screen. Is there any, what have you identified as an above the line or below the line self-talk story?
Me, Jenny?
Yes, you, Jenny.
Okay. Well, you really spoke to me just now that you're the two that you mentioned about people being angry at you and then kind of validating that or seeking to prove that that is in fact true. And then the wanting to caring about making sure everyone's okay. Both of those are probably my top two psychological barriers that I haven't really addressed. But hearing you say it, I'm like, yeah, that's exactly me. So there's some work to do there.
May I ask you a question?
Yes, please.
If you felt within you, everything's great, people really love me, then what else would you create?
Yeah, it's a very fair question. But it would just be more of all of what's good, right? It's all of what's good in life. So it's the good relationships with clients, good relationships with colleagues, and good relationships with family. Then it's not that hard to create.
Yeah, awesome. What about the above the line? For you?
Engagement. So deepening relationships, knowing I'm doing a good job. Above the line is really the core of what we do for me is above the line, which is why I still do this job because I do believe that I'm good at it. And I believe I have very loyal clients who see my value. It's the getting stuck in the other parts. And there's some very specific for me, just situational things that are those anger and is everybody else okay? Kind of trying to resolve those.
Mm-hmm. What might you say to catch and correct that place of those situational things that came up for you in this conversation?
I think the teachings that I'm hearing, it's, just catch and correct, just stop, right? Catch and correct is something I use with my kids. So that the thought of doing that with myself makes a lot of sense. I know I keep looking away from my camera because you're over here on my screen. I'm not good at this part. but yeah, catching myself and just don't allow myself to get in that mindset. Don't say, oh, he's mad. Oh, I'm just like, I shall, right? It's like, okay, now my focus is on trying to correct, to appease or to make sure everyone else is okay, as opposed to just saying, well, I'm going to push that back and have it be your problem, not mine.
Yeah. Are you open to a reflection on that?
Sure.
So when I asked what is the like replacement catch and correct phrase, you said the words don't feel blah or don't do blah. And our subconscious is like a little child. It wants to take action on what you say. And so perhaps instead of saying the don't feel this way or don't go to that word, these above the line phrases, like everything is working out for me, all things are working for my good, everything is being made new. All of those types of phrases are a great replacement that take it out of don't do this,
right?
Because then your subconscious will pay attention to the do of that,
sure.
Versus what you want to create.
Okay. I like that. It's positive too, as opposed to a negative.
Yeah, our brains, it's really interesting when we don't, when we say, you know, I don't want this, our brains don't register the don't. They only register the this. So to Liz's point, if we're like, hey, I'm tired of being broke all the time, our brain just hears broke and it perpetuates broke. If we're like, hey, I, you know, am creating a business that flows more and more money to me with greater ease than ever before, your brain goes, money, ease, effort. Okay, we'll keep tuned. So you're literally telling your brain what to tune into. And whatever your brain tunes into, like a flashlight, it believes that's what you want it to, right, deploy all its resources around. And so when we get out of survival state and we focus on things, like we're so often stuck in survival state and thoughts that very much to Liz's question to Jenny, we lose, right? We don't get into that flow state. We're not doing our best work. We're not having those creative ideas. We're not being as impactful, right? Because when we guard, right, as I tell my kids, all feelings come from the same place. So we really want to make sure that the conversations we have in our head are all conversations, right? If we just took out the keywords, would be things that we want, right? It's not, I don't want to be broke. It's, I want an abundance of money. It's, you know, I hate managing people. It's, I love having people who work really autonomously at a super high level, right? And our brain continues to filter everything through that lens, right? Even the subconscious stuff. So we're just relaying tracks. Right? Better thoughts, better habits, better life.
Yes. So one area that this can come up quite frequently for people is apologizing. So I'm sorry, or absolutes. And so maybe an invitation for you just to be aware of is to notice the places where you are using an apology. I can catch myself in an email writing that. I'm sorry that I forgot to get back to you, or I'm sorry this is late. Pause, erase that email and say, I'm excited to deliver this information. Here's what you need. And if somebody needs an apology from you, they can assert that. You don't have to come to a conversation already self-deprecating and saying, I'm so sorry, whatever. Yep. And thinking about the ways that it can show up in a conversation for me with the team is if I am feeling like somebody highlighted something that I should have known, part of me can sink back into that shack state and be like, ah, I suck, not a good manager. Or I can say, thanks for highlighting that. Yes, exactly. Give them a pat on the back, make it about them. That's awesome that they made that contribution to the team versus making it about us.
We sit in sorry way too. I mean, how many times have you, my daughter, like you bump somebody in the kitchen, they're like, I'm sorry. So I constantly reinforce that, Liz, with my kids, which is tell my daughter, like, sorry is for when you've right really done something wrong, or you've done something with intent. This is just an excuse me, or thanks for your patience, right? That sorry state is when we're in that right lack state or feel like we have to make up for. And our goal is to really operate from a more clear, conscious, empowered state. Hey, thanks for your patience. Some things caught me behind today, right? So our goal is ultimately to operate from a positive, empowered state, right? Our brain frequency, if you go up the frequency levels, right? Beta, theta, alpha, et cetera. Interesting, the highest frequency, one of the highest frequency brainwave states, even higher than love, is gratitude. Gratitude. And here's the really interesting thing. I was doing some work recently and someone challenged me and I thought it was really powerful. And they're like, hey, it's really easy to be grateful for things that are good. It's easy. Anyone can do that. How often are we grateful for things that are tough, that challenge us? Right? Can we sit in the space and say, I'm really grateful for this experience. It's growing me into a more committed, conscious, confident leader. I'm grateful for this experience because it's helping me see areas where I need to, right, love to, right, love my planning presentation, or, right? It could be very practical. I'm grateful that that prospect said no, because, you know, it helped me to see that my presentation isn't as dialed in as it needs to be. And that's work that I can do to really nail it all the rest of the time. So I'm grateful. This is a really hard thing to do when we're stuck in that negative state, because the self-talk is not operating from a place of gratitude. It's like grumbling and complaining and victiming and catastrophizing and magnifying. And our work is to sit in that place and say, stop it right now. Does anybody remember that little commercial with the dog? I can't remember. It's one of the, I think it's like the ET company, or it's sit, ubu, sit. Like the dog comes out and they go sit, ubu, sit. Like that's what our minds get like. And we have to like, hey, it's sort of like literally training a puppy. You have to go, hold on a minute. That's not the response. That response doesn't feel good. I'm choosing that response because I've been conditioned to feel fear, anxiety, or frustration. But catch and correct, right? I choose to be grateful for this challenge because it is forcing me to face my discomfort, figure out what the breakdown is, and ultimately do whatever work I need to do to get to a better high vibe in place with this team member, with this prospect, with myself, with my spouse, with my, you know, CRM. It doesn't matter what it is. It's, are we conditioned to have positive thoughts and conversations, which in turn create habits and realities, or are we conditioned to do the opposite? So we're going to take a little time. We're going to have you break out into groups of three and go through the exercise Liz started you. You can do this one deeper, but we want you to break out in groups of three. Just allows for a little bit time for everyone to talk. We're going to do this for 30 minutes, and we're going to have you identify your negative self story that you think is most holding you back. And then the goal here is to work to catch and correct it. So you can use this as a framework, right? What's the negative self-talk? Challenge it. Is it really true, right? Do I have to be nice all the time? My big one is, right, aside from being perfect, I can't let anyone down. Can't let anyone down. So, okay, you love me when everything's great and I'm being awesome, but man, if I let you down, it's a lot harder for me to love myself. I'm like, oh, I really blew it. Can I still really love myself? You know, there have been a lot of blowouts. Like, that's the work. And I'm thrilled, right? That's a lot of the work that I'm doing right now in my coaching is, right, I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to not let anybody down ever to be worth it, to be good, to have amazing impact on the planet. Like, in spite of every mistake that I've made, whatever it may be, I have a long list of people who are like, wow, you've changed my practice. You changed my life. Thank you so much. And my brain loves to focus on this one thing or that thing. It loves to forget about this long list of things, right? So that is your exercise. Can we get aware of one or more of the stories that are the conversations that are we're having with ourselves in our head? Two, can we catch and correct that? Like, let's pattern interrupt. And then what is the new, better conversation and story, right? Jenny, when those thoughts come up or you get frustrated, it's like, hey, instead of this, I choose this. And then that becomes your anchor. And so we'll talk about that as you come back. But as you get that anchor, each time, Tim, that you're faced with a situation, you can go back to that anchor to get back to a positive feeling state. I know this is really challenging. I'm grateful for the opportunity to learn how to be a more conscious, committed, confident leader, right? I'm doing my best work. I'm here to help people. I know everyone's not always going to agree with me. My intent is in the right place. I'm learning and growing like everyone else. Like, okay, here's how I'm going to handle this, right? And as we do that, that becomes the new thought habit. And over time, the new thought habit becomes the new identity, right? It will not be work at some point. Liz will just every day show up in a conscious, committed state because that story is just so, like, it's a little bit like that tiny, right? The big scary monster in the closet becomes a tiny little thing. Each time we hit new big up levels, they tend to like to show back up again, right? Because we're going to that next level. And that's how you know that there's work to do and that there is an up level on the other side of it. If you're hitting your head on a persistent negative feeling, that is your brain, body, soul way of saying, let's do something about that, please. Because when we nail this, man, there is something so awesome. There's a whole nother level of leadership or success or health or wealth, but not until we do that work. So step one is just to get really clear and conscious. We call that awareness about what are the conversations, right, roaming through the hallways of your mind. So team is going to break you out into groups of three, and you're going to do that. Mm-hmm. So for all of you, were you able to take away some, identify some stories? Anyone else? Who's got a story to share? I mean, everyone wants to air their weakest moments in front of everyone, don't they? Liz and I are doing it. Tim, how about you? Did you identify any negative beliefs or conversations?
Yeah, so when thinking about like future plans and feeling like I can't, well, two things, like I can't relax yet. So one, the one above the line phrase to put in there is embrace step X, which is whatever step I'm on. And then Jeremy, he had a fantastic line that I've put down, and it says, I'm a highly adaptable person, can be flexible for whatever comes my way, which I absolutely love. Yeah, because things are gonna come up. So
do you guys notice how he started smiling when he said it? Am I the only one that noticed that? His, like, if I go into Tim's brain right now, his chemicals are changing, right? As we have those conversations, our biology has to keep up. Pardon me, I'm also catching up with the tail end of a cold. Who else? Phil, Sam, anyone else want to jump in? There we go, Phil.
All right, you got me. The takeaway for me from this is, I think, awareness. I've been working on it, I guess, whatever that means, but it's been reinforced here today, so I'm grateful for that. One of the voices or the reoccurring self-talk for me has always been, and it started, you know, you're too small, you're too slow, you're, you know, short Jewish guys don't do that, and this and that, and pile on whatever bullshit that is, right? And that's cool, and I'm grateful for that, because it made me gritty and like pretty resilient. Other side of that, I can be difficult. It's sometimes not the greatest thing for personal relationships. Thank God my wife is fairly understanding, but not, it's a challenge, right? So getting back to the awareness, but it serves me. I'm scared to let that go. Like, I don't even want to let it go because it serves me. I'm like, that's me. It's cool. But the awareness is key.
Yep.
Because I need to know when I'm way out of that, when that the pedal's too far to the ground.
So can I give you just one example of where self-talk just shows up so insidiously, even in a conversation like the one we just had?
Of course.
So one, I've been working on this with my coach. It's really true. No feelings are bad, especially when you're mad at other people and you're like, how could they? Da, 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 da. No feelings are bad. Like, all humans have them because, right, we all have our stuff, as you know, and everyone's reacting to everybody else's stuff as we bump into each other. But the thing that Phil said, he's like, well, you know, I'm being difficult, da, 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 da. No, this is where love, this is the work we all do. Phil, you're not being difficult. You may be deploying strategies that you learned, right, to survive, stay safe, be guarded, that are not in service of your relationships. But you are not showing up and going, I want to be difficult. And see, that's a level of awareness that says, hey, I'm using strategies that aren't serving me, and that's the work. Hey, because everybody, when there's conflict, there's only one reason for conflict. Only one. Somebody's not getting their needs met. And when we don't get our needs met, It's usually because A, we're not even aware of our needs. I'm coaching a billion-dollar firm right now. I'm talking to the partners and I'm literally teaching one partner to say to the other partner, very intelligent, successful men, I have a need for my partner to be considerate of me. I have a need for my partner to not just go off and make decisions without me. I have a need to have a partner that's considerate. This is what that looks like to me. So one, he wasn't even aware that he had the need. He was like, I just don't like it when he does that. Why don't you like it? Well, it's not right. Why isn't it right? Well, because I'm his partner. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, I mean, she should ask me and he should be considerate. And I'm like, oh, so you want to be considered in the relationship? He said, yeah, of course I do. And I said, well, this is the first, right? If you're aware of it, now we can speak the need. Hey, Bob, name's not really Bob. I really need to be considered in this relationship, right? And there's a conversation there. And now the two partners are learning how to A, identify their own needs, speak their needs. This is our individual work, right? Leanna, when she's there on a Saturday and she's uncomfortable, it's because some need is not being met. Some story says you have to be productive. I'm using me, right? To be worth it. All right. Well, I need to be worth it because if I'm not worth it, that's awful. All right. I guess I'll go to work. That checks the box, right? So anything we've got is an unmet need. It may mean that we need to be heard in a really, it may need a process that's more efficient and we need our team to step into that space and help us create it, right? If we're really aware of the need behind the feelings, the frustrations, and the breakdowns, then we can speak our need. That does not mean that the other party will always be able to receive it in the way that you want to. And that's the real work, right, Liz? Like, okay, I've done my side of the street to the best of my ability from a place of good intent. And you are not getting, Emma was like, I don't like all this coachy stuff. And I was like, why? She's like, well, I said so-and-so to that girl. I feel this. And she goes, it didn't work, Mom. And I said, oh, I forgot to tell you that just because you get conscious doesn't mean everyone else does too. That's your side of the street. Your job is to offer an open, constructive relationship. Her job is to choose whether she can participate. She was like, she chose not to. And I walked away and I was like, great. But now you know that. So Phil, like, what's the need? When our needs aren't met, there's always conversations in our head. Often we're the victim or we're blaming or we're catastrophizing or we're avoiding, all strategies. So even in your personal relationship, whatever the difficulty is, it's a strategy designed to meet or fill a need gap. And if you can have that conversation in the relationship, they tend to get better. So our job always, right? And really circling this back to where we started, self-talk is the internal reflection of our stories and our state. Our self-talk creates, right? And the actions that follow create the reality that we experience. If we elevate our self-talk, right? And through that, our stories and the state behind it, then we ultimately elevate our ability to sit in that clear, calm, conscious, non-reactive, non-resistant state and say, what's really happening here? What's it in service of? What's it costing me? What am I able to do about it? What's that next best, most right step? Hey, I might need to call Coach Liz and do some work. I might need, you know, to just practice catching, like literally start on your success shifter, catch and correct, right? They're every day for 30 days. So this is a conversation, but we want it to be a catalyst for activity. So I want everyone to take the next 60 seconds and identify how you're going to apply this lesson. Are you going to track it? Are you going to, you know, stop and ask yourself about catch and correct 3 times a day? Are you going to do, right, part of a daily practice? Are you going to, right, do the belief worksheet and then start practicing your catch and correct, right? So if we can turn it into something tangible, our brain loves to check stuff off. Let's give it good stuff. Hey, I'm going to practice catch and correct every day for the next 30 days is a really easy one. Put a post-it on your computer, on your bathroom mirror, everywhere that you can see it so that when every time you see one, Tim, you're like, I'm practicing catch and correct. Hey, over the last half a day, have there been, like, so even if you're not in it, you can reflect on it. Remember, your brain doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's imaginary. So if I do, I started a PM reflection where I sit down and it's really hard, by the way. And I ask myself, did I show up as the highest version of myself that day? And I'm like, I showed up here. You know, not like life alt, but I was like, wow, what are the conversations I had with myself today? It was like, oh, that was a good one. That was really great. Oh, I caught that one. And so what I'm really working to do with these PM reflections is mornings, as you all know, I believe really set the day. I meditated this morning, right? What I'm now doing is adding the backstop of, well, how did it go? How did I show up? So I can then sit in the gap of now. I'm telling you, there's some real learning. I texted the team the other day. I was like, I was doing my reflections last night and I realized I showed up this way and I meant to show up this way. That's a learning for me. Just wanted to let, and they were like, cool, thank you. So however you do it, please write something down that will be your way to inventory and hold yourself accountable to better self-talk for the next 30 days. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to wrap that up. When you're done, if you would, drop something in the chat.
While you're doing that, I'll give a little share, show and tell share. This is my most recent reminder for myself. To not go to the, it's always this or it's always that. It's either this or it's either that. And to remind myself that I can be badass businesswoman and be an excellent mother present. I can be someone who enjoys a thriving life and enjoys rest at home. So.
I notice myself getting frustrated about little stuff a lot lately. And it's really because that whole like, I'm getting let down. It's totally not worth it. 100%. So this morning, my accountability, I literally wrote on my arm, what would love do? That's just what I'm going to ask myself every time something frustrates me. I'm gonna be like, what would love do? I heard it the other day and it's a really powerful question. Phil, in relationships, what would love do in this moment? And I don't know, years ago, you guys remember the little billboards that were everywhere. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? My mom had all these really cute, right? Whatever. And I realized it's not even about Jesus. Jesus just love. The real fundamental question there is, what would love do? And I was like, wow, that's really powerful. I'm going to try and operate through that lens. So that's what I'm working on right now. What would love do?
Love that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that ends today's conversation on self-talk. I really hope this helps you step up the self-talk that you have, because when you do that, you create new levels of success. Here's the kicker: with greater ease and joy without the suffer and the struggling. All right, we'll pick it up next call. You guys have a great day. Make it an awesome week.